Lord has for us. Brandon took some of my time, but that's all right. Okay, good. I got an hour and a half, so that's good. All right. All right. Exodus chapter 15. We're going to begin with the 22nd verse through the 27th. So let's just begin. Follow along with me here. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried, and that's important, he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to my voice, or to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." Aren't you glad he's our healer? Yes. He's the great physician. Yes. Yeah. You can dial him up 24/7, and he's there. Amen. They're not going to put you on hold. You don't have to wait 3 days for him to call you back.
Right.
You just tell him your problem. He already knows it. Wait, he's waiting on your call.
Amen.
All right. Verse 27, and they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. That's 70 palm trees. And they encamped there by the waters. Title of my message is, It Doesn't Matter, Part 2. It Doesn't Matter, Part 2. Well, in a wedding ceremony, as a couple exchanges their vows, those vows in most traditional ceremonies includes the words, and you may remember these, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, for better or for worse. It could also be said, for better or bitter. As we find life just has some bitterness built into it. Can you say amen? There are those times. Everyone comes to bitter waters at some point in their life, and possibly through the loss of a loved one, sickness, of course, bankruptcy, divorce, false accusations, rejection, and yes, we know the list can go on and on. And one of the things that we have come to grips, that we have to come to grips with and be honest about, is that many times the bitter waters in our lives is just the operation of the law of sowing and reaping. In other words, many times we are reaping the fruit of wrong decisions and wrong actions and wrong attitudes and wrong words. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. But here's Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Simply put, our lives are the product of the seeds we sow. Our lives are the product of the seeds that we sow. And I understand that you may have been dealt a bad hand in life. Possibly your father was abusive. Maybe he was an alcoholic, strung out on drugs. Or you might not have ever known who your father really is. You may have been born on the wrong side of the tracks, raised in the projects. Maybe you didn't have any money. You may not have had the opportunities others did. Possibly you were rejected and disowned. All of that, listen to me now, all of that may be true, but that is what happened to you. That is not who you are. Can you say amen? Amen. You decide who you will be. And even the direst of circumstances can be the tool then that shapes the greatest life. And it all depends then on how you face those things and how you're going to respond to those things. Decisions determine our destiny. Decisions determine our destiny. Decisions, how many know, has consequences. Our lives then is the product of our decisions. You don't decide your destiny. You discover it. However, the decisions that you make will determine whether or not you fulfill your destiny. Every decision that you make in your life will either move you closer to your destiny or farther away from it. Destiny is not an accident. It is a deliberate choice. You may stumble into favorable circumstances from time to time, but you won't stumble into your destiny. You will have to work and push and fight and sacrifice and go through seasons of testings and go through seasons of trials. You will have to allow yourself to be challenged and you'll have to go through some seasons of change. Amen. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent, what? Take it by force. Suffereth violence means you may have to press on in. And that to me includes, Brandon, some pushing. Some pushing through as you determine to get what God has for you. There are so many people then in the church who have assumed the attitude that God loves me just like I am. He doesn't try to change me. And so you shouldn't either. Well, the truth is that nothing could be farther from the truth.
Amen. That's right.
So let's just look at that just a minute. Let's analyze that philosophy. Yes, God loves us all, and He took us all just as we were when we were lost in sin.
Yes.
And I love it because someone said He loves us too much to leave us that way. But to say He doesn't want us to change or that He is not wanting to change us is not only wrong, it's actually contrary to what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. So we go from glory to glory. Romans 12, very familiar, two verses, verses 1 and 2. Here's what Paul wrote. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not what? Conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. There we go. That means changed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, if you are already everything that you should be and could be, you would already be then at the end of your journey, if you don't know that already. And the reason that we're all still here, the reason that you're still here and you haven't reached the end of your journey yet is because God isn't finished with you. We are still a work in progress. Amen? There are still changes to be made in our lives. Well, Pastor, I just don't think there's anything I need to change about me. I'm just doing what I know to do. No. You definitely need something to happen. Understand with me, nothing will change then in our lives until we quit blaming everybody else for our problems And let's start recognizing that the only one who can decide our future is us-ins. That's a new word, us-ins. Okay. You may have been rejected, but you're not a reject. You may have been victimized. You may have been abused and misused, but that was an event. It's not who you are. You may have failed, but you are not a failure. What happened to you when you were 7 or 13 happened. You couldn't help that. You were a child. But at 45 or 59 or 65 years old, the life that you're living today is the product then of your choices. And yes, the seeds that you and I have sown, good or bad. I can't blame my father. I can't blame my mama. I can't blame the church. And I can't blame the devil. I have a choice to make. I can let what happened to me or did not happen to me make me bitter and resentful and angry and miserable. And it has for a lot of folks. I can judge everything through the distorted lens of past hurts and disappointments. And I can sit down and I can cry about how rotten my life is and be held bondage to my past. And many still are. Or, everybody say or. Or I can decide that I'm not going to be bitter, but I am going to be better. And that my future is going to be better than my past. I can decide that I'm going to sow some good seeds. Now that I have a little smarts to me, I've got a little age on me. Hopefully I'm sowing good seeds. I can decide to love instead of hate. I can decide, here we go, to forgive instead of holding a grudge. I can decide to get past the past and start building a new future with the Lord. A big misconception then about being a Christian is that it exempts us from bitter waters. But the truth is, Jesus never said that we would never be hurt. He never said that we would not experience heartbreak. Our pain. He only promised that He would never leave us or forsake us. In fact, here in Peter, the book of Peter, in his letter, he tells us that we will go through many of the same afflictions as those who are not saved. This is from 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9. He wrote, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Now we can read that, but let's look at what Isaiah penned as the Lord God Almighty spoke to Isaiah. Isaiah 43 and 2. Here we go. "When thou pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." In our text this morning, in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 23, the waters were bitter and they could not drink of those waters. This means there was no pleasure. There was no joy, there was no strength, there was no refreshments from it or in this circumstance. So they only had two possible responses to those things. Number one, they could murmur and complain and begin to resent and blame God. Or they could go ahead and praise God anyway. Worship God anyway, not because of the situation, but in spite of it, it really doesn't matter. The Bible tells us about the story of Ruth and Naomi. Naomi means pleasant. It means agreeable and desirable and lovely. They were living in the land of Moab, because of a famine in their homeland. And while living there, her husband and her two sons died in that land. And then she hears of bread in her homeland, and she returns to her homeland. And by the way, she was very well known, and she was a respected woman in that the whole town is moved by her presence. And they came saying, "Welcome home, Naomi." But she said, "Call me not Naomi, but Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me." Mara was a reference back again to the bitter waters where the children of Israel came. Naomi was saying, "I have been through some rough times. Life has hit me hard. Life has not been fair to me. I've experienced bitter waters." But what she was really saying is, "Just call me a bitter woman." In one day, Job lost everything that he had. Sheep, cattle, oxen, camels, servants, seven sons. His wife became angry and resentful and bitter. She finally told Job, "Just curse God and die." But Job chose to become better instead of bitter. Instead of blaming God and instead of murmuring against God, he fell on his face, Brandon. He surrendered. He shaved his head and he began to worship God. And in the end, we find of that story where God again restored Job and he gave him back double. So we find in verse 25, Moses cried unto the Lord. And that is one of the first lessons of bitter waters. They turn our attention back to God. We don't have any place else to turn to except Him. As believers, we reach a point where we realize we are not in control and we need God's help. I've been there many a time. And as we see where God then showed him a tree, another lesson is that if we will respond correctly, the darkest and the most bitter times will lead us then into a greater revelation of who Jesus really is. And ultimately, we're going to find a more intimate relationship with Him through those things, through those experiences. When He cast the tree into the waters, they were made sweet. Now, let me say right here that this does not always mean that God just instantly makes the bitter things, the hard things, the undesirable, the painful things in life disappear or go away immediately. That's what we could think of when we think of making the bitter water sweet. So, if that's not what it means, then what does it mean? What is the sweetness that Jesus can bring to the bitter waters of our lives? Well, number one, again, a greater revelation of who He really is. Those experiences that we go through, it's going to make us realize we're going to know more of Him. It brings you into a deeper relationship with Him. Number three, a greater dependence upon Him. I'm going to depend on Him more than I ever did before. A revelation, a relationship, a greater dependence. Number four, how about the knowledge that as I trust Him, there we go, the knowledge that as I trust Him more, He will work everything out for my good. Number five, the knowledge that what Satan intended to destroy me with is actually working for me. God turns it around. Pastor, it just don't look like that's happening right now. You just hang on. Just hang on. Keep worshiping Him. It'll turn. Number six, to use what Satan has used against you to bring healing and deliverance to others. You'd be able to share, "This is what the devil meant and to do to my life, but I'm telling you, God turned it around and He can do the same for you." What a story. We have a story to tell. Every one of us has been through stuff, been through junk, but look how God brought you through. Number seven, to take Goliath's own sword, as it were, and cut his head off with it. Cut his head off. In the book of Numbers, chapter 33 and verse 9, it says, they removed from Marah and came unto Elam. Listen, these really are powerful words. They removed from Marah, meaning that bitter place. The word removed means to pull up stakes, to go away from, to go forth, and go forward. In other words, to not get stuck there, to move on, to keep walking. And let's just go ahead and just include pushing on through. Pushing on through. This is also another way of saying forgive. Forgive. Hear me now. Bitterness enters through the door of unforgiveness. And the first step away from bitterness is forgiveness. Forgiveness is a choice. And that's why it says they removed from Marah. Some of the sweetest words in the Bible is this, and it came to pass. Meaning the situation was not meant to stay around. It came to pass. Not going to stay. The Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh on in the morning. David said, I may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but I'm not going to build my house there. It's a temporary situation. I refuse to get stuck there. I'm moving on. Allow me to tell you something. The devil wants us all to get stuck in Marah. He wants to make Marah look so big and bad. He wants it to feel so big and bad that it feels like and looks like that's all there is then to our life. Like life is just one big ocean of bitter waters. But I'm here to tell you that's a lie. Would you look at somebody and tell them that's a lie? Don't get stuck there. Don't get stuck there. You have to keep moving on. You have to keep pushing forward. So we see they pulled up stakes and they came to Elam, where there were 70 palm trees and 12 fountains of water. Meaning there was refreshing. There was shade there. It was an oasis in the desert for them. It was a place then to forget the bitter waters, to forget Marah. Somebody said, oh, there's no way, Pastor, that I could ever get over this. Please hear me this morning. I want to tell you, our God is so awesome and so powerful that He can turn things around so fast and so completely that you will feel like Marah was just a bad dream. That hurt will feel like it was a bad dream. Those words that cut you so deep will feel now like it was just a bad dream back there. Listen to what David said, Psalm 126, 1 through 3. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. That then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. David said, when God turned our captivity, it was like we were dreaming. It seemed too good to be true. It was so good. It made us feel like all those years, those 70 years of captivity and sorrow and pain really never existed, like it never happened, like it just didn't matter. Listen now. Just like Job, if we will respond correctly, to the bitter waters in our lives, we will become better. We will become better, not bitter. Just like Joseph, he said the devil meant it for evil, but the Lord meant it for good, to save many people alive as it is this day. Joseph went through bitter waters, but he did not allow them to make him bitter, but instead they actually then served to make him better. Somebody today, Galen, would you come on up? Come on up and play. And you missed what I said earlier. You done showed yourself now on that keyboard with that last song. So when them fingers start twitching on that guitar, you just come on over on the keyboard, okay? Just come on over, brother. Somebody today has come to some bitter waters in your life. And you thought by now you would be happy. You thought by now you'd have that house that you've been dreaming about. You thought by now you'd be in charge on that job. You thought by now you'd be married maybe to Mr. Wright or Mrs. Wright. You thought by now that sickness would be long gone, over and done, but you're still fighting it. You thought by now that the grief of losing that loved one would have dissipated, but it still hurts. Life just hasn't worked out that way. And you're tempted then to join Naomi and say, just call me Mara because I've experienced bitter waters. So here then, this morning is the bottom line. Here's the essence of my message. We will all come to bitter waters at some point in our life. The key then is to realize that it's up to me and it's up to you whether you or I become bitter or better. And I have seen some people sail through storms in life that others did not make it through. They shipwrecked and they became bitter, Sister North. We know them. And they became angry and hateful and resentful. And now they're mad at God. Why? Because some way back in elementary school, that teacher was very ugly. She was wrong. And she did other students wrong. And you saw how that person saw how she did. And it made them resentful and angry and bitter. And it carried on into their adulthood until they couldn't have relationships, friends, not very long. Please understand that in many cases, we have no control over the storms that hit our lives. I understand that completely. But we have the power of choice. We have the power of choice. We have the power to decide what our response is going to be. Here we go. You have to decide that it doesn't matter what I go through, that I'm going to keep on praising God. I'm going to keep on trusting Him like never before. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to push on to higher heights and deeper depths in the Spirit. I've decided that no one can take my joy from me. No one's going to be able to take my peace from me. Nobody's going to steal my song that's in my heart. Yes, God has a wonderful future laid out for every one of us. Yet He's given us a choice to take what path that the choice to what path that we will take. It's up to us. I am the one who determines my harvest in life by the seeds that I will sow. From even this point on in my life. So I've decided this morning for myself, I will sing even in prison, even in the midnight hour. I've decided that I will not let life make me bitter, but I will become better. And as I close, just know Jesus still makes bitter waters sweet. Amen. That's all I can muster this morning. Let's all stand up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all, I don't want to live my life bitter at anything. Did you know it's a daily fight? Everything we face, there's some bitterness, bitter things that come our way. Wind, cold winds can be bitter. Amen. You don't want to stay out in it very long. What's funny, you can, up north, talking about inhaling, not wearing your mask, going outside, inhaling that bitter cold. What did it do? It froze those lungs. How about when you apply that in the spirit? Oh my gosh. I don't want to breathe in that stuff. I don't want anything bitter getting inside of me. Lord, I thank you today for your word. I can't do a thing about yesterday. I can't do a thing about my childhood, my teenage years, my young adult life. All I can do is say, today, from this point on, I surrender to you again today. And from this point on, Lord, I'm asking you to help me make right choices in my life. And Lord, when I do mess up, when I do make a wrong choice, please, Lord, let me know. Shake me, Lord. Speak to my heart. Get a hold of me. Whatever you have to do to let me know that I might be on the wrong track. And Lord, if there is any dark, closed rooms in my heart that I've closed the door to of bitterness and unforgiveness, Lord, I'm asking you this morning to shine your light down deep in my heart and help me to open that door. Lord, you take your key and open that door for me and show it to me, because I want to be healed completely. I don't want to carry anything into judgment. I don't want to carry any wrong thoughts about anybody, any unforgiveness. I don't want to carry that into judgment. I want it dealt with now. I thank you today. Lord, I just speak strength over this body, those watching online. Lord, I speak a supernatural healing, both in the spirit and in the physical, to come to our lives. And I thank you for what lies ahead this year. I thank you that this year we're going to continue, and as we navigate, we're going to navigate in victory, and we're going to be an overcomer. We're not going to be the victim. We're going to continue strong, and we're going to trust you, and we're going to push forth to higher heights and deeper depths, and we're going to walk in forgiveness. So I thank you today. Transform us. Change us, mold us, do what you need to make us. Keep us pliable in your hands. Just do your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you worship the Lord with a hand clap as we close today?